Hello, guys.
Woo! Good evening.
How you doing? Blake's not wearing a tank top today. He's wearing a long sleeve shirt. I don't know what this world is coming to.
It's a baseball shirt, man.
Yeah. I mean, this is more proof that we're inside of a black hole because Blake is not wearing his
Maybe this will make it better. You might be familiar with this logo.
He's rubbing his nipples in circles. What?
West Borough.
No, not West Borough. Do they even have logos?
I don't know. West Side Barbells.
Yeah, Louis Simmons. Shout out. Rest in peace, Louis.
There you go, man.
Westboro was protesting at NAMM, actually. That was weird.
Oh, really? That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was really good. They made a lot of sense. No, yeah. They didn't at all. Not one ounce of sense was made.
Good place to go and protest against people with progressive attitudes is one that's going to attract artists.
Yeah,
surely.
Don't worry. There was even some more conservative leaning people that were like, "Look at those insane people out there!" Talk to a few people I know that maybe lean a little more in that direction, and they were like, "Those people are crazy." So, yeah. Because those people are crazy, and I don't want to talk about them anymore.
Yep. No, and look, going on your point, bro, yeah, we are living in some kind of alter world, black hole, insane Mandela reality right now.
I don't know what's going on. Won't you come? That kind of thing, or no?
No, it's... things just aren't right. Things are not normal. And I don't know why.
Do you feel like Hank Hill looking at Bobby and something ain't right with that
boy?
The greatest reference there could be on the subject. I feel you, man. I'm seeing a lot of weird stuff in the UK, and it's not, I mean, like, we've got the regular weird stuff, like an sort of successful football player has become like a mouthpiece for conspiracy theory. That's normal over here now. That's like, yeah, what else? But it does feel as if the world is going backwards.
A little bit. It's very strange.
I think what's happened is we've reached what I would like to probably call the zenith, the peak of actually what artificial intelligence is capable of. And we're now like, actually, no, it's rubbish. Let's go back. And Bri, I believe... you were the pioneer that took us to that peak with your incredible demonstration of how AI was able to take some basic instructions and make a pedal that turned your guitar off.
Well, no, right. I mean, we've talked about ChatGPT for a while, off and on. Right? Oh,
I got to say this. Someone on the platform will talk about him, and it said, "Who is this Ched GBD that you keep talking about?"
Yeah. I saw that too. I got cracked up this morning. Yeah. Like, that's just my accent. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I like
Ched
that.
JBD. Mm-hmm. He's captain of the varsity football team.
He's a feller that likes to talk about stuff regarding guitar pedals. Chad GPD,
he worked on my Jeep the other day.
He worked on my Jeep.
He fixed a hole in my vinyl top. Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Yeah, that was the best thing
people
I read
like, why
today.
Do you make fun of like hillbilly type people? I'm like, because I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. That's why I can make fun of myself.
It's fine. You definitely it's totally can, acceptable. Bro. Yeah.
But yeah, so, I mean, of course, Rev just released their Chat Breaker, which they kind of did the same thing I did. They started with ChatGPT. From what I heard from interviews, I don't know those people, but...
I'm going to fix that soon. I'm going to get Derek on
the... Yeah, they seem
like
good people.
Yeah, Derek's awesome. I'm going to get him on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be great. But see, I think like they started out kind of asking ChatGPT to build a circuit, and then in the end, they're like, all right, this is... terrible. So
what they told me at Gearfest, and I forgive me if I'm rehashing some of these things.
No, please do. I don't know that much about it.
So he's like, they had it design the bones of a blues breaker.
So that's sorry to interrupt. So that's the prompt they gave it. They wanted to start from a blues breaker.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
If I remember, that whole week's a little bit of a mess in my brain, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Because I didn't know if that's just what ChatGPT spit out. or whether...
I think they prompted it with Blues Breaker. I think. And they, similar to you, I didn't watch your whole video, but...
you didn't miss much. You didn't miss much.
But similar, I got up to the point where you were turning it on, which is, of course, the point everyone wanted to see. And they had the exact same experience. They were like, they looked at the schematic and they're like, that's sort of a Blues Breaker.
Right.
I guess we'll just build it as laid out, even though they kind of knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And see what happens. And similarly, it didn't work. So they took the skeleton, made it work, tuned it to where it sounded good. And that's what where the chat breaker came from.
Right.
Yeah.
So on my video, I basically said, and I gave it some, a pretty detailed prompt. I said, I want you to help me build a guitar pedal circuit. I want you to explain it like this. And I said, I'll use an example of a tube screamer circuit and how it works, explaining in text. And so I literally said, like, okay, so you have this resistor goes into this capacitor in series, which goes into the base of this transistor. On the collector, it's this. On the emitter, it's this. I explain what happens through the entire circuit. And I said, now, understanding what I'm looking for, help me design a good sounding guitar pedal. How do I phrase it? I'm going off my memory here. Help me design a guitar pedal circuit that uses an op amp with soft clipping diodes, has a simple tone control, and a low impedance output.
Okay, you got really detailed.
I got super detailed. And the first thing it gave me was basically like it went into a transistor stage, like as a boost. Sort of like what you'd find on the first stage of a big muff, into an op amp. It got part of the op amp stuff right. Then it went into the tone control and then into another transistor that was not set up properly at all. I'm like, that is not going to work. So I really had to prompt it. I'm like, okay, so you set up the first stage like a gain stage, but it needs to be a buffer. So it needs to be one. So I explained it in technical terms what it needed to do. So I was like kind of giving it coaching, like, okay, that's not going to work that way. You need this resistor to half voltage, et cetera, et cetera. So
you're basically talking to it like it was me.
I basically like I'm coaching a 5-year-old on how to build a guitar pedal, right?
Me, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it just kept getting it wrong until I literally kind of coached it and it said, no, you can't do that. You have to have this type of resistor here and this type of resistor here. So then it just regurgitated what I said to do at the end of the day.
Okay.
And then the values were kind of crazy. So I'm like, okay, well, this doesn't sound good. And it just couldn't understand what sound good means. Even though I'm like, I tried explaining, well, here's what, the top 10 overdrives do in this section.
But that's a really interesting point, though, because can you actually teach a machine what sounds good? Because firstly, what sounds good to all three of us is different, but there are commonalities.
Yeah,
there are things that we all really, really love. For example, the music of the Doors, something we all absolutely love.
And Pink Floyd.
And Pink Floyd.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, take a shot.
Actually, to be fair, that sounded like the start of L.A. Woman there, Blake. When you made that, I thought you were going to start into L.A. Woman. I thought that was brilliant.
Shut up, Richard.
We all have different kind of standards and...
some of us have high standards and some of us like the Doors.
Some of us have no standards.
Yeah. Some of us are like me,
And pity those people who are like you, Brian.
Right? You should.
Pity, admire. That's the word I was looking for. Sure. I think if the three of us heard a really gnarly guitar track with an amazing tone on it, we'd all go, oh, have you heard that? It sounds good. And we'd all agree, but we might all like it for different reasons. And
if we all heard NWA, we've already came to the conclusion.
That is definitely one point. And I guarantee if you guys check out the Teskey Brothers, because I was giving them another listen and I mentioned them last week, and I know I'm like 7 years late. I was like, this is like Otis Redding, but made like in the last 10 years. I love this so much. And it was immediate. And it was that I reconnected with music again recently, and it's modern music. And so there is a commonality. You would all definitely love
that. So what's
your
favorite Taylor Swift song then, if that's the case?
My favorite Taylor Swift song, you say? Now, I'd have to think very, very carefully about what my favorite Taylor Swift song was, because there are so many to choose from.
What are you doing, Richard? Do you know Taylor Swift songs?
I'd probably say Anti-Hero from the album Midnights. possibly Lavender Haze, or I Can See You. Is that a Taylor Swift song? I've never heard. I mean, I may have heard her stuff.
Lavender Haze. You mean Purple Haze by Jimi Hendrix?
Now we are talking. Mm-hmm. I was actually relearning some of that today. Like, that's a song, one of the first songs I learned. But there are some subtle things in it that you tend not to play naturally if you try and play it by ear. So you've got to sight read that, which is, I know I'm swearing at you now, Blake.
How dare you? I can't see out of my eye. How can I sight read?
But this is my point. What day is it? Even?
So we were talking about the ChatGPT thing.
Yeah.
Did I wrap that up?
I think you were saying how can a machine know what sounds good?
How can we teach
sounding good is subjective? Yeah.
Yeah. How can we teach something that involves subjective logic? Whilst I'm on the subject of subjective logic, are you guys familiar with the band The 1975?
Yeah.
Do you like them?
I don't not like them. They're headlining festivals
over here, and I'm like, is this the world we now live in? I don't know. Again, subjective. I don't know my taste. Exactly.
But anyway, so on the ChatGPT thing, at the end of the day, like, it just wasn't giving me like the traditional overdrive sound. So I'm like, okay, we're changing these parts here because that's what you would do. All right, that's just what you do, is something approximate around these values, and that's what we ended up with. So ultimately, I mean, it's tongue in cheek, right? Like, I wasn't expecting a large language model to actually spit out a schematic, but it was more for fun. And you know, it's not there yet, but I think something like this, like they're incorporating this into every other software, like it'll be in a software like Spice, which we use to draw schematics, and then we use it to simulate what's going on within the circuit. So I'm sure there'll be something like that at some point in time. But
what was really interesting, though, Bri, was I think the second iteration of the circuit you made was kind of a fizzy fuzzy.
Kind of a fuzzy thing.
And people were like, I like that.
Now, that actually surprised me.
Yeah, now I think they may have been listening through their iPhones, because when I listened to it through my studio monitors, I was like, that is fizzy and top-endy like nobody's business. It's missing a lot. Right. But I think if you'd have heard that through an iPhone, you might have thought, actually, that's pretty decent. So you may have invented...
Well, you're exactly right.
You may have invented iPhone fuzz.
The iPhone fuzz.
The iFuzz.
You're exactly right. When through the iPhone speaker, you can't tell that stuff. But when you got, like, I was listening through studio monitors, I'm like, oh,
we saw the faces, to be fair.
it's a sound, but it's not what you would expect from an overdrive.
I don't want to rehash this too much, but I've had this happen a few times lately where I'm get a mix going and I'm like, wow, this sounds awesome. So good. I'm like, let's bounce this down to my iPhone real quick and check it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, what? What? Hey.
There are plugins that do that as well that will...
Yeah, and I did make an IR like Brian suggested.
Oh, that's right. You did. Yeah.
And it does a reasonable job. But
nothing's as good as the real thing.
It's literally just as fast for me to airdrop it over. So
it is.
Yeah. But still, it's like, then I go back and I make it sound slightly worse in the studio monitors. Because I would never do that for like a piece of music I really cared about, but for something I know is largely going to be consumed via iPhone speakers, I try to make it sound as good on iPhone speakers as I can. So some people hate that. I've gotten some heat for that in the past, but I'm like, well, that's, you got to cater to the medium at some point, you know? You can't mix as much low end on a vinyl.
Yep.
So they don't.
Yep.
You know? So there's limitations with these things, but anyway.
Yep. Well, I got to ask you, Richard, because you were paid to listen to the video. So I know you've watched it. Did you like my little jams I threw in there? I made those myself.
I mean, your video production game is very hot, Bri, and your playing is very good. But, you know, I wish you would wear some Wampler branded t-shirts once in a while. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, isn't that kind of like wearing your own band's merch on stage?
It's a little bit like if you're Metallica, you're not wearing a Metallica shirt on stage, are you?
You got to wear a Misfit shirt. Yeah.
Quick shout out to Jake Steffes, who we had. I probably said that
Steffes.
Wrong.
Steffes.
Because halfway through, I thought, should I say his surname or not? But it's too late. I blew it. So sorry, Jake. But he played a festival recently. I think Summerfest in Milwaukee. I may have got that completely wrong.
I think it was,
Or Wisconsin, or maybe that's the same place, or maybe one's might in the
have,
other.
Or was it Chicago? He might have
been
Chicago.
It could have been Chicago, actually. But it was a big stage.
It was
stage,
a big venue. Big
and
venue.
I asked him about it, and he's like, yeah, it was really, really cool. And his I think his singer or his guitarist was wearing a Pink Floyd t-shirt. I mean, it was ripped at the sleeves, so he looked more Blake-like, but
Looked
like Jake had an amazing time, and I am so happy to see that journey, like as it happens in real time, like for him to go from the guy that I talked to about, like, should this knob have this many markings or this many, to actually being a genuine rock star is really, really lovely.
What is the name of Jake's band again?
It's Lockjaw.
Lockjaw.
That's there's a few other bands called Lockjaw. So I think on social media they use Lockjaw X on their Facebook. I can't remember.
They're really good, man. I mean the clip he sent me, like, you guys,
you sound
you could be an absolutely touring professional band. That sounds really great.
Not really my kind of music. I probably wouldn't pay to go and listen to them right now, but I certainly would have done when I was younger. I think you need to not be a 40-year-old man to enjoy that sort of stuff.
So. I only got 5 years left. And I can't enjoy things anymore.
You're already screwed. No, Jay, what a journey he's on. But, yeah, Pink Floyd t-shirt, just saying. Next week, a Doors t-shirt.
No.
What band did you say, 1975?
Which incidentally, the singer of the reason I mentioned it, the 1975, the singer of 1975 goes out with Taylor Swift.
I don't think that's a thing anymore. But
I did go out with Taylor. I don't know. Like, I know anything about
I would
Taylor
be afraid
Swift.
To date Taylor Swift because you know you're going to end up in a song.
Hopefully not by name.
You hope, but you might.
It's possible.
You know?
Could be the best thing possible for your pedal building career. You
That's
never know.
True. That is true.
And you built me Taylor a Swift. Fuzz and it wasn't very good and stuff and stuff and such.
I did enjoy a video that I watched today. I'm not going to say too much because we might have the guy who did it on at some point. But he did a comedy skit about that one person who always sings everything. And it was so funny. So funny. I was like,
was it me? Was it about me?
It could have been. I know we looked very briefly at this guitar auction last week because I was salivating over the 1970s.
I think we mostly did that on Patreon. So
did we? Okay.
Yeah, Patreon. Yep.
If you get Patreon and look at last week's episode, I highly recommend it because I went through a video of 50 beautiful guitars and fell in love with about 48 of them. Mm-hmm. Two that I've highlighted this week, though, and I think we may have touched on the Fender Performer, but they've got a Fender Performer, which they think is the only one ever to exist with a maple board. And I don't normally like weird-shaped guitars, but I keep being drawn back to this. I think I need to have a bid on it if it's under 3,000 million pounds or whatever it's going to go for. Have you guys ever seen one?
I've never seen one. And I was around in 1985.
Wow. Are you talking about the Performer? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah, I have seen these before. I have mixed feelings on them. Part of me absolutely loves it, and part of me is like, but would you actually play it? That's the question. I guess it depends on how it sounds. I've never played one to know how it sounds. Aesthetically, I go back and forth.
Yeah,
part of me loves it.
It's like the love child of a Parker Fly and a Fender Strat, yeah, really, isn't it?
It is. That's a good description. Yeah, it's got a Parker Fly sort of feel to it. Yeah.
But it looks better than a Fly to me because I'm not big on the Flies aesthetically.
Yeah. Oh, they grow on you. Well, I think they
grow on you because the only hippies play them.
Yeah. What?
Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Did you say only hippies play Parker Flies?
Yes. Jam bands. True. That's the only time you ever see
you
a
say
Parker
that like
Fly.
It's a bad thing.
Adrian Belew, man. I went to
a hippie fest this weekend, and we can talk about that more.
Did you?
Maybe if we want to. Yeah.
Was the band Lockjaw performing?
No. There were some great performances. Interesting crowd, but that's not what we're talking about right now.
No. So going back to this performer, which look, I was with you, Black. I immediately looked at it and went, that's vile. And then went back and went,
but is it?
Yeah. Right. Would I be able to summon the power of Castle Grayskull with that in my hands? Possibly. I possibly would. But then I noticed that the trem on it looked like the Carla trem that I had on my old 80s Strat. And then I saw this 1985 Les Paul with a Carla trem. And I felt very wrong about that. That doesn't look right. Putting a Floyd Rose style on.
Yeah, but a lot of those 80s Les Pauls came with them.
I remember seeing those quite a bit back in the 80s.
I've never been a fan. I just can't get there. It just looks like some kind of industrial finger mincing machine when you look at it.
When you put it that way, that sounds even better.
Actually, that could be the name of my new band, Industrial Finger Mincing Machine.
Mm-hmm.
Mincing has connotations. I may not use that word, but I'm grinding. Oh, no, that also has connotations.
Hold on.
Pounding? Oh, I'm
You're not making it any better. Jeez.
Just stop while you're ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But as I said, the problem with those Carla trems is they use a very soft metal on the adjustment screws. And if you are a 15-year-old British kid, you will destroy them with your bare hands.
Hmm. I did not know that about them.
I neither.
Yeah, you strip them out real easy or something?
So I had one. So I forget, maybe it was the American Performance. I forget. I had a 1980 Strat with the Carla Spider trim. I think that's what it was called. I might be wrong on that, but it was definitely a Carla Floyd Rose knockoff. And the metal screw. So on, we've got a Floyd Rose at hand. On a Floyd Rose and on the Carla, they just used a different metal. The Carla used a softer metal. And I did not know, because this was pre-internet and I had like one friend who played the guitar, I did not know that I should probably be unbolting it at the top more than I was and retuning it there, resetting the bolts at the top and screwing it. So I would just continually screw down as I tuned this trim, and over time the screw bent a bit and I didn't see it bend, and then it just snapped one day. And as I think I've said this before on the show, try finding parts for an American-made, like, weird trim in 1989 Britain when you have to go to the capital city to even find a guitar shop that knows what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So I ended up giving that guitar away because it just had a busted space where the trim was. And I cannot tell you how gutted I am about that today. I'd love to have that Strat back.
Hmm. You know, maybe if we keep going down this timeline, we'll invent time travel and you can go get it back.
What I would. Think? It's one of the major mistakes I've made in my life. That, the film partnership where I ended up owning part of a TV series.
And this very podcast.
This very podcast, meeting Brian. No, that's one of the best things. And sending all my Star Wars figures. These are mistakes, my friends. Never sell
us
for
it. I gave it away as well.
Yeah, it's grievance hour. Where's the sting, right? It's grievance hour. Anyway,
let's see. Nope. That's not it.
I can't air grievances to a goat.
I feel happier now. So tell me about your hippie fest.
Do you want to hear about the hippie fest? All right, here's the hippie fest. So, as I told you guys multiple times, and just before we started this podcast, ever since NAMM, for whatever reason, the universe has aligned to make me absolutely insanely busy. 99% of it is good busy. Some of it's just life. But Friday, I was like, you know what? I'm finally going to have a day where I'm not running around like a chicken with my head cut off. That's just going to be a nice feeling. And then I got a call Thursday evening. I got a call from Mr. Chris Benson of Benson Amps. And he was like, hey, I'm going to be running a backline down to Oregon Country Fair for Celise Henderson, who, if you guys are not familiar with Celise, you really need to get familiar with Celise. She's absolutely incredible. Incredible guitarist, vocalist, songwriter, insert thing here. She's one of those people that can just do everything. She started out on Broadway. And oh, then wow. She thought, I think I'm going to pick up guitar, and just plays guitar better than any, you know, anyone else. I hate her already. I know. She's insane.
Too much talent.
So good. And such a great performer. But she has these custom all pink sparkle Bensons. Like, she's got a stereo rig with a, she's got a rotary speaker in the center. She's got 2 4x12s all covered in bright pink sparkle cloth. It's quite a sight to behold, but she keeps them here on the West Coast. And, Chris had them at his shop for some repairs. And, we ran them down there to her to backline this festival she was playing. And we were like, Oregon Country Fair. That sounds interesting. I knew it'd been going for a long time. It'd been going since 1967, happens every summer. And it's like a mini Woodstock.
You mean it's literally been going on since 1967?
it feels that way.
Yeah, let's just keep rolling on.
It's been going on every year since 1967. When we rolled in there, a bunch of ladies with fringe were, you know, waving at us and saying, welcome home. Like it was the whole nine yards. If you go to my Instagram, you can see the weird trail we had to drive down with a 2500 Sprinter van. So it barely fit down this thing. And there's cloths hung up everywhere. We were like, are we going to be murdered by hippies? I don't really know what's going to happen right now. It was like 30,000 people at this thing. There was people walking around on stilts. My brain could barely process
Sounds
everything
hideous.
That was.
Did happening. You try and push them over?
I thought, I'm not going to lie, I did. I considered it. Yeah, you knew I considered it. Yeah, I can't stand things above 6 feet.
right. That's basically the entire world for you.
Yeah, exactly. I can't tolerate that. Anything over 6 feet, I start looking at the knees. I'm like, but yeah, it was a great time. My family came. I told Lynn about it. She's like, can we come? I'm like, I guess. So we all rolled down there and... Yeah, basically, we kind of like hung backstage. I ate like 5 sandwiches and helped set up a backline for Celise, watched her play. It was a good day.
That has different connotations in your country to mine.
What's that? Sandwiches?
Yeah.
Sandwiches?
So if someone said to me they'd eaten 5 sandwiches over here, I'd assume they'd mean 5 quarter sandwiches cut into triangles, probably with twice as much bread to filling. Whereas I think an American sandwich is likely to be about 18 inches long and filled with like mortar, maple syrup, like some kind of biscuit and every meat.
Gravy.
Yeah.
There was one small fried chicken slider. The rest of them were a muffaletta style, which if you're familiar with is a kind of a...
It's a JHS pedal.
It's a JHS pedal based on the sandwich. Exactly. Yeah. It's a New Orleans sandwich.
You ate 4 JHS pedals.
I did. I needed a little iron in my diet.
You can actually explain what a muffaletta is to me because I don't know what one is.
So basically, it's a French style sandwich. It was invented in New Orleans and it has basically cured meats, cheese, and what they call an olive salad. I don't know why they call it a salad. It's more like a relish, but it's referred to as a salad. So it's like cut up olives. It's a very savory sandwich.
Oh, a tapenade, we would probably refer to that as.
Yeah, exactly, okay. Exactly.
Interesting.
I think you'd really like... I've never met anyone that likes cured meats that has not enjoyed themselves a quality muffaletta once they've had it. So.
What were the meats cured from? Like, what disease?
Cured from living.
Cured from going rotten.
Yeah.
Okay, I look forward to experiencing a muffaletta at some point.
Yeah, but if you want to get a brief snippet into the day, you can go to my Instagram and see the post where we're traveling through wondering if we are indeed about to be murdered.
So, Instagram? Yeah.
All right, Granddad, that's yesterday's social media platform.
Who uses Instagram these days, Papa?
I'm all about the threads now, boy.
What is this threads thing you guys keep talking about? I only threads are the stitches in my jeans.
I don't mean to be mean about anybody, especially anybody on the podcast, but on the day of the launch, when I was going, yeah, I've set up a threads account, yet we're posting on threads, I did get a text back going, and what is threads exactly? I'm like, have you been asleep? But of
I have not watched or read the news or anything for weeks now.
Or indeed remembered anything we spoke about last week, because we did mention it last week, but, well, you know.
In fact, the day after, or maybe even that very day, I can't remember. I think it was the day after we recorded.
I think it was the day before. But anyhow, we were user number 19,238,000 on threads, Bri. So I'd say that makes us trendsetters in a world where there's now 100 million threads users. We're in the first
20%. You guys are regular old trendsetters. What am I? I'm there's too many digits. I can't figure it out.
What are the first two?
22253.
Okay, 22 millionth.
22 million, yeah. I'm right in there with you. 3 million
behind us, slow coach.
Well, you're a time zone ahead of me. What do you want me to do? I'm sleeping over here. Yeah.
That helped. And it's interesting because Threads currently feels like a nicer place to be than Twitter. Now,
I like it better for sure.
That might be a self-fulfilling prophecy because Twitter may have an algorithm that promotes certain types of content that I may have watched in the past in a different way to how Threads is promoting it, which seems fairly random at the moment. But I've just found everybody nicer on Threads so far, and everyone's like breathing a sigh of relief. So I'm going to give it a go. But I think I've uncovered what Zuckerberg's strategy is. Oh, and by the way, did you guys see Elon Musk call Zuck a cuck?
Yes.
I thought that was his parody account. It wasn't. He literally said we should have a genitalia measuring competition.
I saw that.
Oh boy!
I kind of expect more from him.
expectations have been set. But I think Zuckerberg's strategy is quite clear. I think Instagram will become less about photos and much more about video, like TikTok, and I think Threads will become more about the sharing of ideas, news, threads and pictures like Twitter. And when
can we kill Facebook off?
Well, see, Facebook is the sort of ground in between for boomers and me.
It's just MySpace continued.
I think Facebook's going through a bit of a change. People seem to be like boasting and vague booking a lot less on Facebook. You still get a few people who are just like, you know, vague booking constantly, but yeah, I think it's matured a little bit.
I'm still not a big fan.
Threads is going to be interesting. You know, I do think I'm basically like make hay while the sun shines, right? To me, it's kind of like any new social media platform, except that it has Meta behind it.
Yeah.
So all they're going to want to do right now is make Threads look as good as possible. And so they're going to make the user experience for the average person as good as it can possibly be. And by that means their organic reach is going to be larger. With a smaller user base, you're going to have less negativity in general. That's just how it always works.
Yep.
So it's going to be great for a while, but I think eventually, like anything, it will morph over time into what social media has routinely morphed into. Now, that said, Instagram, generally speaking, has mostly been more positive than Twitter, I think, mostly, over the course of its... And I don't think that's exclusively true. There's, of course, bad stuff on every platform. But if they can maintain that level of attitude over on Threads, it'll be more interesting. I will say this. I've typed more words on Threads in the last few days than I did in the first, you know, whatever, almost 10 years on Twitter. So already it's got me a little more activated. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I like it.
How long until they start having reels on Threads, though? How long until they turn it into a video platform?
Well, see, that's the thing. It does the things that Instagram doesn't do. It lets you embed a YouTube in the same way you can on Twitter. In other words, you put a YouTube link in, it passes it, gives you the thumbnail, and gives you a nice link through, which, of course, you can't do any of that on Instagram. So we no longer have the backwards style of link in bio for our latest video, which we've had to do forever on Instagram.
And it doesn't suppress that like Facebook
does?
No.
It encourages it. So it's different, but it doesn't have a direct messaging system, for example. Direct messaging.
I don't hate that, to be honest.
No, nor do I. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for giving me a platform that doesn't involve another window to read messages.
There's already enough meta platforms specifically. We got WhatsApp, which I don't really use, but we got WhatsApp, we got Messenger, we got Instagram, all of which can accept DMs. I don't think we need another meta platform to be able to accept DMs.
You know they're all
going to
become WhatsApp, don't you? That's going to happen at some point. At some point, Messenger and direct messages on Instagram will all end up being WhatsApp. That's the play for Meta. Because let's not lose sight of the realities either. This is a huge data harvesting operation by the Zuckerberg Android Lizard Corps. There's no doubt.
I need your data. Please interact with friends and please give me your data. Please. Thank you. We will reward you with heart buttons.
I think I will just look at all of your browsing history from the past 10 years.
Oh, look, OnePlayer, you seem to like ChatGPT.
So one of the things that they've done on Twitter, which has really messed with me, is if you don't pay for a blue tick, which anyone with a brain that isn't a corporation is likely not to be paying for, you now get one promoted advert every 6 or 7 tweets. So as I put on my Twitter the other day, I am now going to just block every account that promotes an ad to me that I'm not interested in. Thus, my one-man campaign to disprove Elon Musk is on, boys.
Now, Elon's made some severe missteps. I think we can all agree with that. But the question is was Twitter ever fixable? Because as we talked about when he first took over, it was not a super profitable company as it sat. It was losing money. It was not doing super well, despite its importance in the culture. Was that ever going to be a thing that was able to be turned around in and of itself? So Threads has the support from the already successful Meta other platforms, right? It could probably stand to be a thing on its own. I'm sure they'll monetize it at some point because that's capitalism. But it can afford to be its own entity without so much invasiveness. Twitter, his struggle was always going to be like, how do I make this thing actually work on top of like trying to, do his stated goals.
But there's a fine balance because...
But Twitter never made money. So how do you take something and
I agree, it needs to be commercial to make money. But for example, on Facebook, I generally get good targeted adverts. It's normally guitar gear. Every now and then it's something weird and dodgy. On Twitter, I was 99% getting either help yourself books for subjects I don't need help with, or mobile phone holders for cars. And I've bought one of those mobile phone holders off one of those adverts in the past. And what you get and what they show you on the advert are basically completely different products. It's just a scam. And so I was like, these are very low quality adverts. So he's taking anybody's money and that's dangerous. And I'm not playing that game. So I am ramping down my personal Twitter usage.
Which is why I wanted to announce my new company that makes iPhone holders for cars. Yeah.
Wompco, the finest iPhone holders and accessories.
Well, it'd be Wompco.
As seen on Facebook.
Like that. That plug-in manufacturer who made the two Wampus pedals. You saw those the other day, did you, Brian?
Yeah, that was STL, I think.
Yeah, like some amp sim.
I feel like they've had those for a while, haven't they? Yeah. I think we talked about them.
Yeah. I mean, it's been done. There's a lot of plug-in companies that have like quote-unquote clones of our stuff. Yeah, and my biggest bitch there is like, why not just talk to me first? Because, you know, maybe like, let's do something together. You know,
I think we'll help promote it. They have no money. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I would just work off a profit, so you don't have to pay me anything unless you sell something.
Okay, that was a nice bit of solicitation, Bri. Well, just, slid in.
I'm just saying. I mean, if you want to do that, don't go down the, that sounds terrible. I was going to say the backdoor route, but I don't want to say that. I was trying to rephrase that.
This is not entirely related, but slightly. I had somebody message me on a platform I rarely use. We'll just leave it at that. And the listener will know who I'm referring to, but I did not get permission to share all this. So sure. I won't give all the details. But he was like, I noticed that you and Brian aren't connected on here. Like, why are you and Brian not connected on this particular platform? And I was like, well, because both of us don't really use it very often. I use it about every 3 months when I remember it exists. And also, I can just call him.
Yeah, I think we should definitely say that we have our own social media platform. It's called
group chat.
It's called iMessage.
It's got the best links, the hottest memes, and the funniest stuff.
So, and no ads. Yeah.
Well, that's what you think.
Not yet.
True. Don't give Apple any ideas.
I want us to do a deep dive, Bri, but we're out of time this week, I think, sure, to do deep dive. So. We will schedule it in for the main show, but I really want to go back to look at attenuators, volume controls, and also just like explain amplification in general to 5-year-old dumb my brain. Because I want to know
makes
why
it louder.
I understand that. Okay. I want to know why an attenuator has to take a load and those sort of things. Even that raised a few eyebrows. So we'll do that, but before we do go and get onto the Patreon, guys, we are no longer just complete and utter internet buffoons. We are academically referenced internet buffoons.
Oh man, would you believe it?
It's official.
We are indeed official. A buffoon. So I have received a copy in the post today of a new book called Sustainable Crowdfunding. By a gentleman called Adam Pope, who is also a listener of the show, who is also a PhD professor, I think is the right terminology. He's bound to tell me I'm wrong, who studies technical writing, content creation, and that sort of stuff. And let me tell you, I did an interview with him today. I've never felt more stupid in my life. This guy actually knows what he's talking about, whereas 99% of the people we talk to, Bri, kind of are winging it, right? This guy is a very smart guy, and his book is, I've not read all of it, clearly, I only got it today, but his book looks really interesting and really excellent. So, yeah, we get referenced in it, because, we're a bit of a thing.
Do they reference us like sort of a do this?
Yeah, here's how you don't do it.
Here's what it looks like when you're failures.
I talked to Adam yesterday myself. And so, he mentioned the book and I was like, oh, I'll have to talk to the boys about that tomorrow. And here we are talking about it. So
yes, if you flick, I didn't find the reference, but if you flick to the actual references section, unfortunately, because of the way they do academic referencing, my name had to come last.
Oh,
so it says, man. Wampler B, Wyland B, and Oliver R, Chasing Tone Podcast is creating, and it's about our Patreon because it's about crowdfunding.
Okay.
Then the final entry is a Mr. Wyland B, who has something called the Tone Mob Podcast. That sounds vile. Gosh, why would anyone need to listen to that?
I can tell you, if you want to hear me and Ryan Burke from 60 Cycle Hum have a very good interview with Paul Reed Smith, where we ridicule each other for about a half hour, then you can go check that out.
I'm canceling you.
I was gonna say, I heard you got kicked off the internet for that one.
Oh, yeah. James kicked me out of media. His name's James. He told me I needed to quit the business.
Which business?
He said, I have
multiple. Maybe he's talking
said
about
I, well, he specifically said I had no business in media, to which I replied, actually, I do have a business in media. It pays taxes and everything.
And there's more than one business in media. He's got one where he does this like strippogram thing. If you pay him enough money, he turns up dressed like a Boy Scout.
If you got the money, the honey, I got the time.
I mean, this came up actually, funnily enough, in the conversation with Adam. You know, I am... Like every single person who's ever put their voice their words or anything out on the internet, I am subject to as much criticism now as I've ever been in my life. And I'm sure you guys are too. People love to tell us their negative opinions.
Sure.
And you know what I say to them? I say, I'm going to cry myself to sleep in the millions of dollars I've earned from your... Oh, no, wait, that's another life. No, I say, you're right. I am a failure. Everything is wrong.
I don't know if everything. Maybe just most stuff.
You know, it's not wrong,
though. 90%?
What's not wrong?
Our Patreon supporters.
You know what? And there's some really wonderful people out there. You know?
Beautiful, beautiful
people. And, you know, it's the sort of thing that, let's say you get to the end of this podcast, you're like, oh, man, I have just enough time for one more podcast. But I've already been through all the Chasing Tone podcasts. What do I do? Well, now is the perfect time to go on over to patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast, mm-hmm. and you get an entirely new podcast.
Oh, you really will.
In it's more true. Ways than one, because sometimes there isn't even a topic for us to stay on to.
That's
it's
true.
So off topic, it's on topic again.
Probably. It's mostly Brian and Richard going like, all right, this knob color is not going to work. Okay, but this time we are going to do purple LED on purple instead of orange on orange. Yes, and
I didn't
it's
even
me
show,
in the background whistling.
I didn't even show Blake the new pedals. I'll show him on Patreon.
Oh, we'll have to do that. Yeah. All right, so let me give a shout out real quick to our executive producers from Patreon. Bill Bays, Jake Young from the Man the Helm podcast, which you should be checking out. Justin Burke, David Tyndall, Night Haas, Dave Trombetti, Shannon Beaver and the band. Shannon Beaver and his band Reduced to the Lake. Shannon Weaver and the band Reduced to Rust. Eric Wilson, Radar Frosted, Michael Freer, Sean Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, Rick Calhoun of Honey Picks, DJ Patty F, Dylan Talks Tone, Strand, Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, Felicity who makes the memes, Tom Kelly, Pigsy, John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, Jordan from the Pedal Company, Poison Noises.
Oh, and more on that later. Hopefully. Yeah.
Send me one.
Nick Spano, the Twain Kings, Sasha Sir, Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Grumpy Mike, Harry Post, Mike Peace, the Pedal Company, Harby Pedals with an H, and Allison Carroll. Thanks a lot, everyone. We'll talk to you next week.
Later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone Podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/ChasingTonePodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.